When you have turned the corner on the right into the High Street, a little way down on the right is a large building of a brutal architectural style given over to the public's entertainment. Stand outside its double glass doors and faded blue canopy, above which the splendid letters for the Odeon are mounted. Now, look for someone who might be waiting for you, as Priam does the next day as he waits outside the Empress.
I suppose you are Henry Leake, aren't you?
Fal raises his hat at the moment he perceives the red roses. He might deny the name of Leake and flee, but he does not. Though his left leg is ready to run, his right leg does not stir. For there are two men in Priam Fal. The shy man, who has made a virtue of his cowardice, the other being a doggish, devil-may-care fellow who loves dashing adventures. He shakes hands with her. But how has she identified him?
I didn't really expect you.
Why didn't you expect me?
Well, Mr. Fal being dead, I knew you'd have a lot to do. Besides being upset, like...
Dead? Yes. How did you know?
How did I know? Well, I like that. Look anywhere. It's all over London. It's been this 6 hours. Look at that placard there, for instance. See, it says, Sudden Death of Priam Fal in London. Special memoir.
Priam blushes. It is singular that he has walked even half an hour in central London without noticing that his own name flies in the summer breeze of every street. But it is so. He is that sort of man.
You don't mean to say you didn't see those posters?
I didn't.
That shows how you must have been thinking. Was he a good master?
Yes, very good.
I see you're not in mourning.
No, that is...
I don't hold with mourning myself. They say it shows respect. But it seems to me that if you can't show your respect without a pair of black gloves that the dye's always coming off... I don't know what you think.
I quite agree with you.
He gives her a warm, generous smile, which sometimes rushes up and transforms his face before he is aware of the occurrence. And she smiles also, gazing at him half-confidentially. She is a little woman, stoutish, puffy red cheeks... A too remarkable white cotton blouse, a crimson skirt that hangs unevenly, grey cotton gloves, a green sunshade, and on the top of all this, the black hat with red roses. The photograph in Leake's pocketbook must have been taken in the past. She looks quite 45, whereas the photograph indicates 39 and a fraction.
I suppose you'll have to be going back again soon to arrange things like...
No, I've finished there. They've dismissed me.
Who have?
The relatives.
I hope you made them pay for your month.
Oh, yes.
So, Mr. Fal was one of these artists. At least, so I see according to the paper. It's a very funny business. But I suppose there's some that make quite a nice income out of it. You ought to know about that, being in it, as it were.
Never in his life has Priam conversed on such terms with such a person as Mrs. Alice Challis. She is in every way a novelty for him. In clothes, manners, accent, deportment, outlook on the world and on paint. He has heard and read of such beings as Mrs. Alice Challis, and now he is in direct contact with one of them. The whole affair strikes him as excessively odd, as a mad escapade on his part. Wisdom in him deems it ridiculous to prolong the encounter, but shy folly cannot break loose. Moreover, she possesses the charm of her novelty.
Well, I suppose we can't stand here forever. It's a pity it's a Saturday and all the shops closed. But anyhow, suppose we walk along all the same. Shall we?
By all means.
And they do. And some time later... They enter through the bevelled portal of a glittering eatery, something like the one you might now see across the road if you look. the award-winning Enoteca, for instance, with its dark blue painted frontage, mirrored panels and swish blue canopy over the door. They are seated by a man in evening dress who insinuates a gold-charactered menu into Prime's hands and flees to flip between other tables while they peruse the extensive menu.
Isn't it amusing? I'm so glad you brought me here. I've always wanted to come.
As soon as they have finished their meal...
You know, I've been thinking for years of getting married again. And if you really are thinking of getting married, what are you to do? You may sit in a chair and wait till eggs are sixpence a dozen, and you'll be no nearer. You must do something. And what is there except a matrimonial agency? And I say, what's the matter with a matrimonial agency, anyhow? They say you're swindled. Well, those that are deserve to be. You can be swindled without a matrimonial agency, seems to me. Not that I've ever been. Plain common sense people never are. No, if you ask me, matrimonial agencies are the most sensible thing that's ever been invented. And I'm sure if anything comes of this, I shall pay the fees with the greatest pleasure. No shame in wanting to get married, is there? I think a matrimonial agency is a very good, useful thing. Now, don't you agree with me?
Now, the whole mystery stands explained. Priam feels the skin creeping in the small of his back as he nods.
Absolutely. Shall we get the bill?
Oh, I suppose we shall have to be going.
Yes.
You know, you are like your photograph.
Like my photograph? How is that so?
Well, I knew you at once, especially by the nose.
Huh. Have you got the photograph here?
Alice pulls out of her handbag a photograph. And it is not of Leek, but of Priam Farl. It is one half of an unmounted print of a pair of pictures taken of Leek and Priam together. But why should Leek dispatch photographs of his master to strange ladies, introduced through a matrimonial agency?
I love it. You haven't told me whether you were ever married. I've been waiting for that.
No.
And you've always lived like that, alone like, no home, travelling about, no one to look after you properly.
Well, one gets accustomed to it. No responsibilities.
No, I can understand all that, but I do feel so sorry for you, all these years.
You were very kind. But here is the bill.
And with that he pays and they leave the restaurant, finding themselves standing on the pavement outside, where Priam offers the only thing that a lady expecting marriage would want in the circumstances, escorting home to Putney. When she blushes and accepts, he knows that he has done the right thing, and they leave for the station. But unfortunately, there... both of them become separated in the evening crowd when his hat blows off and he has to run back after it down a tunnel. Not knowing her address, and concerned that she shall not think he slipped away from her on purpose, he writes to his second cousin Duncan Farl at Selwood Terrace to ask that if any letters arrive for Henry Leek, might they be kindly forwarded to him at his hotel. He then waits and prays that she writes again to that Fulham address. The only thing, however, that he receives from Duncan Farl a few days later is an invitation to his own funeral. For the whereabouts of this, turn to the next scene.